ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವೀ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮೋ ಹರೇ ರಾಮೋ ರಾಮ ರಾಮೋ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ So far we have discussed the 7 chapters of the 12th canto. The first chapter described the degraded dynasties of Kali Yuga, several names of Kali Yuga kings, and second chapter discussed the symptoms of the Kali Yuga. Then towards the end of the chapter we saw how all the kings ruling the earth, they want to possess the earthly planet. So Bhumi's lamentation for all those kings is described in the third chapter. Then, as per the request of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami discussed the qualities of different ages, different yugas, along with their with the qualities of the people of those yugas, and some more symptoms of Kali Yuga in detail, and how holy name is the can remove all the contamination of Kali Yuga. Then later, as per Parikshit Maharaj's request, to describe the course of time, the effects of time, he spoke about the four categories of pralaya: atyantika, then naimittika, prakritika, then atyantika, and nitya. Four types of pralaya he described in the fourth chapter. Then Sukadeva Goswami gave a final set of instructions, which are predominantly jnana, right? To keep the confidentiality of the message of Bhagavatam, to satisfy all the jnani kind of people sitting in the audience. And he also was also afraid that Lord might not be pleased with him if he reveals what he wanted to keep it a secret. So that's why he wanted to cover it up. And he also wanted to test Parikshit Maharaj, and he very well knows that Parikshit Maharaj would pass this test, and in that way Sukadeva Goswami wanted to glorify Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj, due to the expectation of Sukadeva Goswami, did not follow the jnana part, but he was absorbed in his remembrance of Lord Krishna and left his body when Takshaka came and bit him. Then after that, Saunakadi Rishis asked Sukadeva Goswami, I want to know about the Samhitas, all the Vedic Samhitas, and how Vyasadeva and his disciples edited them and propagated them. Then Sukadeva Goswami gives a very detailed description of how one Veda is divided into four, and who are all the disciples of Vyasadeva and grand disciples who took charge of various sections of these Vedas and Puranas. And Purana, Bhagavat Mahapurana is the highest Purana, and he discussed the 10 characteristics of Mahapurana in the 7th chapter. So we came till there. Now 8th chapter. So in the 8th chapter, Savanakadi Rishis ask about Markandeya Rishi. So why suddenly this Markandeya Rishi is coming into picture? Right? because this all the Saunakadi rishis, they were aware that Markandeya Rishi was one of their previous he is coming in the Bhrigu dynasty. Markandeya Rishi was one of the previous person, right, in that Bhrigu dynasty. And also Markandeya Rishi saw this universal annihilation at the without the annihilation actually happening, right? It's a very popular story, well-known story, that Markandeya Rishi saw this universal annihilation. But in this day of Brahma, that annihilation has not yet happened. We are still in this seventh manvantara only, so we didn't complete the manvantara. So how come he saw? They wanted to inquire. Sri Shaunaka Uvacha Suta Jeeva Chiram Sadho Vadano Vadatam Varam Tamasya Pare Bhramatam Dhanam Tvam Paradarshanah.
Sri Shaunaka said, O Suta, may you live a long life. O saintly one, best of the speaker, please continue speaking to us. Indeed, only you can show man the path out of the ignorance in which they are wandering.
So, here again, one of those previous verses, right? One of the quality of those previous verses. Here, so Saunakadi rishis are glorifying Suta Goswami. Oh, you are the only person who can answer questions nicely, who can take one beyond this ocean of material existence. We are paradarshanaha. We are the seer of the opposite shore of this material ocean. So, that's why. Then Suta Goswami kind of concluded the narration of Bhagavatam at the end of 17th chapter, the way he presented things, for there are 18 major Puranas, like that he concluded. So Saunakadi rishis were fearful. He may stop. We have some more things to learn from him. So we want to know more. We want to hear more. That's why in that great eagerness, they presented this question.
Ahuschirayusham rishim mrakandutanayam janah yah kalpante hirva rito yena grastam idam jagat sava asmat kulotpannah kalpesmin bhargavarshabha naivadhuna bibhutanam samplavahko pijayate eka evarnave brahmyam dadarsha purusham kila vatapatra pute tokam shayanam tvekam adbhutam eshanasam sayo bhuyan sutakautu halam yaha hitah tamnaschindi mahayogin purneshvapi sammatah.
Authorities say that Markandeya Rishi, the son of Mrikandu, was an exceptionally long-lived sage who was the only survivor at the end of Brahma's day, when the entire universe was merged in the flood of annihilation. But this same Markandeya Rishi, the foremost descendant of Bhrigu, took birth in my own family during the current day of Brahma, and we have not yet seen any total annihilation in this day of Brahma. Also, it is well known that Markandeya, while wandering helplessly in the great ocean of annihilation, saw in those fearful waters a wonderful personality, an infant boy lying alone within the fold of a banyan leaf. O Suta, I am most bewildered and curious about this great sage Markandeya Rishi. O great yogi, you are universally accepted as the authority on all the Puranas. Therefore, kindly dispel my confusion.
So, Suta Goswami, Saunakadi rishis heard about these four kinds of annihilation, but they also heard about one annihilation that happened in the life of Markandeya Muni, but that doesn't belong to any of these four categories. So, at the end of day of Brahma, at the end of life of Brahma, But we happen to hear that Markandeya Rishi saw some annihilation within this life of Brahma, within this day of Brahma only, before the day of Brahma ended only. So what kind of annihilation is that? So I want to know. So Brahma's day consisting of his 12 hours lasts for 4,320,000,000,000,000 years. So apparently Markandeya Rishi lived like one full day of Brahma. So they are wanting to know more details about it. So in response to that, Suta Goswami describes entire story of Markandeya Muni. His austerities and how Indra had sent some apsaras and Cupid to distract him from his austerities, and Markandeya Muni did not even notice them or acknowledge them, right? So he was not disturbed by them at all. Then Markandeya Rishi got the darshan of Naranarayan Rishi. Then later, Lord Shiva and Mother Uma, they came and gave blessings to Markandeya Rishi. The entire story of Markandeya Rishi he narrates. Then, 6th verse onwards, 6 to 14, austerities of Markandeya Rishi are explained. Prashnastvaya maharsheyam krito loka bhramapaha Narayana katha yatra Gita kalimalapaha.
Suta Goswami said, O great sage Shaunaka, your very question will help remove everyone's illusion, for it leads to the topics of Lord Narayan, which cleanse away the contamination of this Kali age.
In the first verse, Shaunaka the Rishi is glorified Suta Goswami, and here Suta Goswami is appreciating their questions. So this happened quite sometimes in the previous chapters, previous cantos. Krito loka brahma apaha. Loka brahma apaha means it will destroy the delusion of people. You ask the question and the subject matter of the answer to that question will remove the delusion of people. Then Narayana katha yatra. Why it will remove the delusion of the people? Because it's containing Narayana katha, Hari katha. Gita Kalimalapaha, and this Narayana Katha can also remove the contamination of Kali Yuga. So that is the effect of the answer to your question. Now I will describe the austerities of Markandeya Muni. Please read the translation.
After being purified by his father's performance of the prescribed rituals leading to Markandeya's Brahminical initiation, Markandeya studied the Vedic hymns and strictly observed the regulative principles. He became advanced in austerity and Vedic knowledge and remained a lifelong celibate. Appearing most peaceful with his matted hair and his clothing made of bark, he furthered his spiritual progress by carrying the mendicant's water pot, staff, sacred thread, brahmachari belt, black deer skin, lotus seed prayer beads and bundles of kusha grass. At the sacred juncture of the day, he regularly worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead in five forms: the sacrificial fire, the sun, his spiritual master, the brahmanas, and the supersoul within the heart. Morning and evening, he would go out begging, and upon returning, he would present all the food he had collected to his spiritual master. Only when his spiritual master invited him, would he silently take his one meal of the day. Otherwise, he would fast.
So thus, in the traditional Gurukul system, where a brahmachari is under the strict supervision of a guru, so now this is not possible. So guru in some other is in some other country and we are here. Unless we get a phone call, you can eat now. If you don't eat, then we can't function. We can't do our services. So, yeah.
Thus devoted to austerity and Vedic study, Markandeya Rishi worshipped the Supreme Master of the Senses, the Personality of Godhead, for countless millions of years. And in this way, he conquered unconquerable death.
So, the principle of brahmachari life is brahmachari gurukalevasan adar danto gurorhitam. Gurorhitam. For the benefit of guru, for the service of guru, a brahmachari stays in brahmachari ashram. So, the purpose of the life of a brahmachari is to serve guru. Right, that is the primary concern of a disciple. So other details like this, taking prasad only after guru says, and all these details are there. So they, you know, they become like secondary as per time, place, circumstances, right? So if one strictly serves Guru, what will happen in the case of Markandeya Rishi? Because of his strict following of all these rules and regulations under the guidance of a Guru in service to Guru, so the personality got hit for countless millions of years, and in this way conquered unconquerable death. So he has conquered death. He became long-lived, right? So that was the effects that Markandeya Rishi got. Yes. And everyone is surprised by his achievement. Read in 12th verse.
Lord Brahma, Bhrigu Muni, Lord Shiva, Prajapati Daksha, the great sons of Brahma, and many other among the human beings, demigods, forefathers, and ghostly spirits, all were astonished by the achievement of Markandeya Rishi.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In this way, the devotional mystic Markandeya maintained rigid celibacy through penance, study of the Vedas, and self-discipline. With his mind thus free of all disturbances, he turned it inwards and meditated on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lies beyond the material senses.
Mm-hmm. So he became more devoted to Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that one gets lost in the external ritualistic performances of all these rules and regulations only. He developed internal feelings towards Supreme Lord. He became more dedicated. The purpose is served, right? So while the mystic sage thus concentrated his mind by powerful yoga practice, the tremendous period of 6 lifetimes of Manu passed by. So means he lived for 6 Manvantaras. 6 Manvantaras he was there. Such a long-lived person. So Manvantara Shadatmakaha. 6 Manvantaras he continued to live. Like that. Then, seeing this, Brahma, Indra, everyone got astonished. So Indra did not stop at just getting astonished only. He wanted to disturb him and distract him also. That is discussed from 15 to 31. How Markandeya Muni conquers Cupid also, sent by Indra. Read.
O Brahmana, during the 7th reign of Manu, the current age, Lord Indra came to know of Markandeya's austerities and became fearful of his growing mystic potency.
Mm.
Thus he tried to impede the sage's penance.
This is a constant theme in Indra's life. Right? Which Indra is sending, we don't know. Every Manvantara Indra changes. So he lived for 6 Manvantaras, and in 7th Manvantara, that Indra is sending. Right? Yeah, read.
To ruin the sage's spiritual practice, Lord Indra sent Cupid, beautiful celestial singers, dancing girls, the season of spring, and the sandalwood-scented breeze from the Malaya hills, along with greed and intoxication personified.
So in this image, if you see, where is this? You can see the image. Along with Cupid and all these apsaras and singers, dancers, there are two people in black dress. Like ghost. They are these people, greed and intoxication personified. So they should accompany all these sense gratificatory things, right? Okay. And this Cupid did the same with Naranarayan Rishi also. And now he is doing the same with Naranarayan Rishi's devotee, Markandeya Rishi also. He got failed in both places, right? Etadishanamishasya prakritistopi tadgunaihi nayujyate sadatmastayar yatha buddhis tadashrayaha. Then, just like Lord's senses cannot be captivated by Cupid, right? Madanopi Yasan, what is that? Uddama Bhava, Pisunamala Valguhasa, Viridavaloka Nihato Madanopi Yasan. Sammuhya Chapa Majahat, Pramadottamasta, Yasya Indriyam Nihati Vimathitum Kohakairna Sikuhu. So, Lord's senses cannot be captivated by this Cupid. Cupid will get frustrated and give up his bow, right, in front of the Lord. And now he is frustrated in front of a devotee also and gives up his bow and runs away, right? So towards the end of this whole description, it is said that he was absorbed in his meditation. Markandeya Rishi was absorbed in his meditation. All these people were trying to disturb him. Then Markandeya Rishi was coming back to his senses. They realized, hey, what have we done? They started themselves feeling the heat, right? They wanted to increase the heat of Markandeya Muni, but they themselves felt the heat. So they felt as if small children who were playing in the road, so they will disturb a sleeping snake, when the snake comes like this, they'll get very fearful. So they became like this and they started running away. Continue to read.
O most powerful Shaunaka, they went to Markandeya's hermitage on the northern side of the Himalayan mountain, where the Pushpabhadra river passes by the famous peak Chitra. Groves of pious trees decorated the holy ashram of Markandeya Rishi, and many saintly brahmanas lived there, enjoying the abundant, pure, sacred ponds. The ashrama resounded with the buzzing of intoxicated bees and the cooing of excited cuckoos, while jubilant peacocks danced about. Indeed, many families of maddened birds crowded that hermitage. The springtime breeze sent by Lord Indra entered there, carrying cooling drops of spray from nearby waterfalls.
See, along with Cupid comes springtime also. When Cupid comes, Cupid can create an atmosphere of spring, right? That can prepare one for getting engaged in these celestial affairs. So these three verses 18 to 20 describe beauty of Markandeya's hermitage in general, and a transition is given how it is looking in the springtime, which is sent by Indra.
Fragrant from the embrace of forest flowers, that breeze entered the hermitage and began invoking the lusty spirit of Cupid.
Next.
Springtime then appeared in Markandeya's ashram. Indeed, the evening sky, glowing with the light of the rising moon, became the very face of spring, and sprouts of fresh blossoms virtually covered the multitude of trees and creepers. Cupid, the master of many heavenly women, then came there holding his bow and arrows. He was followed by groups of Gandharvas playing musical instruments and singing. These servants of Indra found the sage sitting in meditation, having just offered his prescribed oblations into the sacrificial fire. His eyes closed in trance, he seemed invincible, like fire personified. The women danced before the sage, and the celestial singers sang to the charming accompaniment of drums, cymbals, and veenas.
Sandhadestram svadhanushim kamah panchamukham tada madhurmano rajastoka indrabhritya vekampayan.
While the son of passion, greed personified, Spring and other servants of Indra all tried to agitate Markandeya's mind, Cupid drew his five-headed arrows and fixed it upon his bow.
So Cupid's arrow is said to be five-headed. The five heads are drying up, bewilderment, agitation, suffering, and exhilaration. Sanskrit, Chakravarti Pada writes this. Drying up, bewilderment, agitation, suffering, and exhilaration. So these are the effects of Cupid. So let's see what happened. Read the next verse.
The Apsara Punjikastali made a show of playing with a number of toy balls.
So Punjikastali is Anjana. Right, Hanumanji's mother was, in her previous birth, she was Punjakastali. That's one narration we hear. But this Punjakastali is same as that Punjakastali or not, we don't know. Right.
Her waist seemed weighed down by her heavy breast, and the breadth of flowers on her hair became disheveled. As she ran about after the balls, glancing here and there, the belt of her thin garment loosened, and suddenly the wind blew her clothes away. Cupid, thinking he had conquered the sage, then shot his arrow. But all these attempts to seduce Markandeya proved futile, just like the useless endeavors of an atheist.
Like that. So these are the this is the description of Cupid's attempts to conquer devotees of the Lord. Sarvam tatra bhavan mogham anishaya yathonjanaha. So Anishaya means an atheist disbeliever. So all his endeavors are defeated, baffled. So Cupid's attempts to conquer Markandeya Rishi also became like that.
Tayuttam apakurvanto munestatte jasa mune dahyamana nivartuhu Prabodhyahim Ivarbhakaha.
O learned Shaunaka, while Cupid and his followers tried to harm the sage, they felt themselves being burned alive by his potency. Thus they stopped their mischief, just like children who have aroused a sleeping snake.
Mune stat tejasa mune dahyamana nivabratuhu dahyamana. They felt as if they were being burnt away by the potency of the sage, and they also felt prabodha ahim. Prabodhya ahim eva arbhakaha. Arbhaka means children. Ahim means snake. Prabodha means waking up or agitating, disturbing. So they felt as if they are disturbing an angry snake. So suddenly it will come and then bite. So they wanted to run away. They were frightened. They felt, we don't know what will happen now, so let's run away, like that. And Chakravartipal says that actually Markandeya Rishi became little angry. Slightly lust arose in him, and then he became angry, and he then controlled his lust and anger. So this small reaction in Markandeya Rishi made them so frightened that they wanted to run away. Next,
Itindranucharer Brahman
Dharshito Api Mahamuni Yannagat Ahamo Bhavam Natachitram Mahatsuhi.
O Brahmana, the followers of Lord Indra had impudently attacked the saintly Markandeya, yet he did not succumb to any influence of false ego. For great souls, such tolerance is not at all surprising.
Natachitram Mahatsuhi. It's not at all surprising for great souls to exhibit tolerance. Then, read.
The mighty king Indra was most astonished when he heard of the mystic prowess of the exalted sage Markandeya and saw how Cupid and his associates had become powerless in his presence.
We will read this verse. So that is the end of that section where Cupid and his associates came to seduce Markandeya Muni, but they failed. Now 32 to 39 we will see how Naranarayan Rishi come to bless Markandeya Muni. Tasyaivam yunjatas chittam tapasvadhyaya samyamaihi anugrahaya virasin naranarayano harihi.
Desiring to bestow his mercy upon the saintly Markandeya, who had perfectly fixed his mind in self-realization through penance, Vedic study and observance of rich regulative principles, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally appeared before the sage in the form of Nara and Narayan.
Tau Shukla Krishnau Navakanjalo Chanau Chaturbhujau Rau Ravavalka Lambarau Pavitra Pani Upavita Kam Trivrit Kamandalam dandam rujam cha vainanam Padmakshamalam utajantu marjanam Vedam cha sakshat tapa eva rupinau Tapattaditvarna pishangarochisha Pram Shuddhanau Vibudharsha Bharchitau.
One of them was of a whitish complexion and the other blackish.
So,
and
Shukla Krishna. They are the colors of Nara and Narayana. Yes.
And they both had four arms. Their eyes resembled the petals of blooming lotuses, and they wore garments of black deer skin and bark. Along
Navakanja Lochanau. Means their eyes are like Navakanja, just blooming lotuses, right? Chaturbhujau, they had four arms. Then Raurava Valkalambarau, Raurava means this black deer skin. Valkala means they had hair long locks, right? Valkala is not that is Kuntala. Valkala is tree bark, right? Ambara means their clothing is made of bark. Next.
Along with three-stranded sacred thread, In their hands, they which were most purifying, they carried the mendicant's water pot, straight bamboo staff, and lotus seed prayer beads.
So pavitra pani upavitakam trivrit. So this they were wearing a sacred thread. Upavita is sacred thread. So in their hands they were holding this kamandalu, water pot, dandam. There is a rod, staff. Yeah.
And lotus seed prayer beads, as well as the all purifying Vedas in the symbolic form of bundles of darbha grass.
So this darbha grass or kusha grass is, darbha is kusha, durva is different. Durva is like, it is very small, thin grass. Darbha is like long, where we use for mats. Right? So darbha, that represents the Vedic hymns, right, Vedas. So yeah, that has a purifying effect of it purifies all living beings. Jantu marjanam.
Their bearing was tall, and their yellow effulgence the color of radiant lightning. Appearing as austerity personified, they were being worshipped by the foremost demigods.
So you can see that all details are mentioned in these two verses are seen in this image, right? How BBT paintings are exactly matching the descriptions of Bhagavatam. Something is missing. Lotus beads, prayer beads. Okay. Galle me, ha. Okay, 35th verse. Tevai Bhagavato Rupe. Naranarayana Rushi Drishtvothaya Dareno Chair Nana Mange Nadandavat.
These two sages, Nara and Narayan, were the direct personal forms of the Supreme Lord. When Markandeya Rishi saw them, he immediately stood up and then, with great respect, offered them obeisances by falling down flat on the ground like a stick.
Satat sandarshananda nirvritatme indriyashaya harishtaromarshu purnaksho naseheta udikshitam.
The ecstasy of seeing them completely satisfied Markandeya's body, mind and senses, and caused the hairs on his body to stand on end and his eyes to fill with tears. Overwhelmed, Markandeya found it difficult to look at them.
Uthaya pranjali prahava autsukyad aslishan iva namo nama iti shanau babhase gadgadaksharam.
Standing with his hands folded in supplication and his head bowed in humility, Markandeya felt such eagerness that he imagined he was embracing the two lords. In a voice choked with ecstasy, he repeatedly said, "I offer you my humble obeisances."
So this is the response that a devotee would give when he sees the Lord. Right? Unexpectedly, suddenly his beloved Lord manifested in front of him. So devotee undergoes various ecstatic emotions. We see this in the case of Dhruv Maharaj, where he felt as if he was embracing the Lord with his hands and kissing the Lord, Lord's lotus feet, all that he was thinking. Now he could not speak also. Then he had to touch the conch shell. Yontap pravishyama vajamama. Then same thing happened with Aditi. Then Lord Vishnu manifested in front of her in the 8th canto. Then Prahlad Maharaj in front of Narasimhadev. Right? So Karasparsha. When Prahlad Maharaj was touched by Narasimhadev's hand, he was feeling ecstatic symptoms. So these were the reactions. Sudama flourished. Yeah. Then when all the Mathura women saw Krishna in the wrestling arena, they were also thinking, Pibantaiva Chakshurbhyam, Lihantaiva Jihvaya. There is more description about it. So they were feeling that we were drinking Krishna and Balaram through our eyes. So like that. So these are the ecstatic emotions that a devotee undergoes when he sees the Lord. Next. Tayorasana madayam padyor avanijyacha arhanena nulepenam dhupamalyair apujayat.
He gave them sitting places and washed their feet, and then he worshipped them with presentations of argya, sandalwood pulp, fragrant oils, incense and flower garlands.
Sukham asanam asinau prasada abhimukhau muni punar anamya padabhyam garishtav idam abravit.
Markandeya Rishi once again bowed down at the lotus feet of those two most worshipable sages who were sitting at ease, ready to bestow all mercy upon him. He then addressed them as follows.
So 40 to 49, next 10 verses are the beautiful prayers of Markandeya Muni. So we have been missing such deep prayers in the last several chapters. So now we will have. Sri Markandeya Uvacha Kim Varnaye Tava Vibho Yadudhiritosyuh Samspandate Tamanuvan Mana Indriyani Spandanti Vaitanubhritam Ajasarvayoscha Svasyapyathapi Bhajatam Asibhava Bandhuhu.
Sri Markandeya said, O Almighty Lord, how can I possibly describe you? You awaken the vital air which then impels the mind, senses and power of speech to act. This is true for all ordinary conditioned souls and even for great demigods like Brahma and Shiva. So it is certainly true for me. Nevertheless, you become the intimate friend of those who worship you.
Beautiful verse. He says, Kim Varnyate Tava Vibho. Kim Varnyate, how can I describe you, my dear Lord? Well, Tava Vibho. Yad Udirito Suhu means Yad Udirito Suhu Samspandate Tam Anu Van Mana Indriyani. So you are the person who awaken the vital air of the people, then Tanu Van. So Spanditani means all these elements of one's body begin to act only when you awaken them. Something like Yontah Pravishya Mamavajam Imam Prasuktam Sanjeevayati Akhila Shakti Dharasvadamnam. So everything becomes animate only when Lord induces its power or sanctions it. Then Spandanti Vai Tanubhritam Aja Sarvayoscha. Spandanti means they begin to act. All these life airs and power of speech and senses and mind, everything begin to act by Lord's awakening. And this is true for Tanubhritam, everyone who is embodied, including Aja Sarvayoscha, including Shiva and Brahma. Aja is Brahma and Sarva is Shiva. Right? And me also, myself also, Swasyapi. So, Athapi Bhajatam Asi Bhava Bandhu. Beautiful word he used. Bhava Bandhu means very intimate friend of every living entity. So, you are the most intimate loving friend of every living entity. You awaken their senses, you make them move. Without your intervention, people cannot people cannot animate like that. Chakravarti Pada writes, you enliven the senses not only of ordinary beings, but of Brahma and Shiva. What to speak of me? Like a friend, you are controlled, this is important word, Bhava Bandhu, Chakravarti Pada elaborates it. Like a friend, you are controlled by the love of those who worship you. You alone enable them to worship you by enlivening their minds and senses, yet you feel unable to repay their debt. So, the first three lines of the verse, he says, people's senses are awakened and people's sense move or act only because of Lord's awakening. Okay, only because of the Lord. When devotees, because of their senses activated by the Lord, they offer some worship to the Lord, Lord becomes obliged to that worship. He is the one who is making them act like that. He is the one who is giving them all the paraphernalia of worship, right? He is the one who awakened their minds and senses, and now he is becoming grateful to them, right? So that is very astonishing. You alone enable them to worship you by enlivening their minds and senses, yet you feel unable to repay their debt, right? Lord is obliged to them, Lord is grateful to them, and Lord even feels that I cannot repay your debt, right? Controlled by their love. That is most astonishing. This is the greatness of your mercy. So this is the first prayer. Now, therefore you appear in this world to allow us to worship you and let yourself be controlled by that prema of your devotees. The purpose of Lord's appearance is to make the devotees worship and to feel that prema. But not only for this purpose do you appear, you also come to protect the universe. One confidential reason is to reciprocate with the loving devotees. Another reason is to protect this universe also. So that is mentioned in the 41st verse. Murti ime bhagavato bhagavam strilokyaha. Kshemayata paviramaya cha mrtyu jityai. Nana vibharsha vitumanya. Tanur yathedam srishtva punar grasasi sarvami vorna nabhihi.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead, these two personal forms of yours have appeared to bestow the unlimited benefit for the three worlds, the cessation of material misery. The cessation of material misery and the conquest of death. My Lord, although you create this universe and then assume many transcendental forms to protect it, you also swallow it up, just like a spider who spins and later withdraws its web.
So here, Markandeya Rishi is speaking about various appearances of the Lord. So now you have appeared in these two forms, right, to bestow ultimate benefit to the world. So, murti ime, ime means these. He didn't say this murti, he said these murtis. Means Lord is two, Nara and Narayana. So, murti ime bhagavato, like he is an expansion of the Lord, that much is mentioned. But he represents Arjuna, Krishna Arjuna, correct. Actually, Narayana merged with Krishna and Arjuna and performed all these pastimes. So, Narayana are the expansions of Krishna and Arjuna, that is mentioned.
So, Murti ime bhagavato bhagavam strilokyaha. So, of all these three worlds, so Lord, you appeared in these murtis, in these forms. For what? Kshemaya. Trilokya kshemayaha, for the ultimate benefit of three lokas. Then tapa viramaya, for the cessation of material miseries. So mrityu jityaihi, means to conquer this death, right? For conquering this death, so Lord has appeared. Not only in these Naranarayana forms, in many other forms, like Matsya, Korma, Varaha, etc. So many forms. Nana bhivarshi abitum, so anyatanur. Anyatarur means various other forms he descended. Then Srishtva Punar Grasasi. So Srishtva, he manifests so many forms, Anya forms, and he retracts them also. He appears and then he disappears also. Like that. Just like spider manifests its web and then retracts it. So here spider example is used to explain that Lord appears in various forms and then again goes back. Earlier that same example is used there to explain that Lord creates, maintains and destructs this universe, right? Withdraws that universe. So basically the purpose of all these forms is to protect the devotees and protect the universe, right? Just as you assume various other forms like Matsya, Kurma, you will appear in these two forms. However, having accepted these forms, you make them disappear just as a spider produces and devours its web. Right? Next, lotus feet.
So first he spoke about it's like withdrawing the universe within his body and again emanating. Spider example is used for appearance and disappearances also. Lord manifests certain forms and then withdraws those forms also from the vision of this material world. Both spider example is used to explain both. And 42nd is about worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. So 40th verse is how Lord is the intimate friend who makes living entities animate. 41 is how Lord manifests so many forms to protect the universe and the devotees. 42. Tasyavitu sthirachare shurangrimulam. Tasyavitu sthirachare shurangrimulam. Yatstham na karma gunakala rajaspurshanti. Yadvaistuvanti ninamanti yajantya bhikshnam. Dhyayanti veda hridaya munayastadaptyai.
Because you are the protector and the supreme controller of all moving and non-moving beings. Anyone who takes shelter of your lotus feet can never be touched by contamination of material work, material qualities or time. Great sages who have assimilated the essential meaning of the Vedas offer their prayers to you. To gain your association, they bow down to you at every opportunity and constantly worship you and meditate upon you.
This is a very beautiful verse offering prayers to the lotus feet of the Lord. So, tasya vituhu sthirachara, right? Ishutiro, supreme controller, you are avituhu. You are the protector of sthirachara, moving and non-moving entities. Moving and non-moving entities. So, angri moolam yatstham, whoever has taken shelter of your angri moolam, of your lotus feet, you will protect them. Then, what else will happen? Na karma guna kala rajasprushanti. Here, raja is not rajogun. Raja is the contamination, the pollution, caused by karma, guna, kala, three things. By the modes, by the time, and by one's own activities, there is a contamination. Right? Karma, guna, kala, rajaha. Sprishanti, na sprishanti. People will not be, your devotees who have taken shelter of your lotus feet will not be touched by the contamination caused by these three things. Karma, gana, gala, gana, dharma, guna, and kala. Right? So, yadvai stuvanti, so devotees, stuvanti, means praise the Lord. Then ninamanti, offer obeisances to the Lord. Yajanti, worship the Lord. Abhikshnam, constantly. And dhyayanti, remember the Lord. Devotees do these four things. Stuvanti, ninamanti, yajanti, dhyayanti. So these are the activities of devotees. Veda hridaya manastadaptyair. So here Lord is described to be Veda hridaya. We have, not Lord, the devotees. So devotees are described to be Veda Hridaya, means they have assimilated the essence of the Vedas. If you assimilate the essence of Vedas, what will happen? You have to worship Krishna. Because he is Vedaishcha Sarvair Ahameva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Veda Videvajaham. By knowing all Vedas, I am to be known. Right? The purpose of all this Vedic knowledge is to know Krishna. So whoever is Veda Hridaya is dedicated to Lord. Right? So, manayas tadaptyai, like that. So, this is about prayer to Lord's lotus feet. Then, that lotus feet of the Lord is the only auspicious thing for those who are fearing samsara. That is further explained in 43rd verse. Nanyam tavangriupanayad apavargamurtehe. Kshemam janasya parito bhiya isha vidmaha. Brahma bibhetya lamato dviparardha dhishnyaha. Kalasya te kimuta tat krita bhauti kanam.
My dear Lord, Even Lord Brahma, who enjoys his exalted position for the entire duration of the universe, fears the passage of time. Then what to speak of those whom Brahma creates, the conditioned souls? They encounter fearful dangers at every step of their lives. I do not know of any relief from this fear except shelter at your lotus feet, which are the very form of liberation.
So even Brahma is fearful of time factor. Brahma bhibetyalam ato dviparartha dhishnaha. Dviparartha, he is having 100 years of age, and each day is 3,420,000,000 years. That is each day. Into 30, into 12, into 100. That is the age of Brahmaji. And he is fearful of time, because he is getting old and he is exhausting his duration of life. So even Brahma bhivetyalam ato dhiparartha dishna. So what to speak of other living entities created by Brahma? They must be more fearful. So only shelter is lotus feet of the Lord. Even Prahlad Maharaj also says, Balasaneha Saranam Brita Narasimha. So there are many other people who could give shelter to people, but the only ultimate shelter is Lord Narasimhadev's lotus feet. So 44th verse, the theme is, attaining the Lord, one attains everything.
Tadvai bhajami ritadhiyas tava padamulam. Hitvedamatma chadi chatma guru parasya. Dehadya parthama sadantyam abhignamatram. Vindeta tetarhi sarva manishitartham.
Therefore, I worship your lotus feet, having renounced my identification with the material body and everything else that covers my true self. These useless, insubstantial and temporary coverings are merely presumed to be separate from you, whose intelligence encompasses all truth. By attaining you, the Supreme Godhead and the Master of the Soul, one attains everything desirable.
So, whatever difference that we see, in the duality that we see, is all insubstantial. So nothing is separate from you. Right? Everything has its basis in you only. So by attaining you, one attains everything. Everything desirable. Right? So one who falsely identifies himself as the material body or mind automatically feels entitled to exploit this world. But when we realize our eternal nature as servants of Krishna, that false enjoying propensity is gone by the strength of spiritual knowledge. So now Naranarayan Rishi might say, one who worships me will attain me, then let those without material desire worship me. Let those with material desire worship demigods. Right? They worship someone else. Then he says, no, if someone attains you, he attains all desirable objects without even going to some other people who might give them. Right, attaining you, one attains all the desirable objects. Right. As per tattva, it is bhinna prakriti rashtada. Right, but they don't exist without the Supreme Lord. Again, yesterday, the cause and effect are same. The reflection and the form of the object, all are same. Oneness aspect. This is like one of the Abheda Vakyas. Sometimes this is said, sometimes that is said. But one who has knowledge of both will combine and see that.
Sattvam rajastama iti shatavatma bandho. Maya maya sthiti layo daya heta vosya. Leela dhrita yada visatva mayi prashantyai. Nanyeranam yasanamoha vibhascha yabhyam.
O my Lord, O Supreme Friend of the conditioned soul, although for the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this world, you accept the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, which constitutes your illusory potency. You specifically employ the mode of goodness to liberate the conditioned souls. The other two modes simply bring them suffering, illusion and fear.
Mm. So for creation, maintenance and destruction, Lord accepts these three modes. Goodness, passion and ignorance. Then through goodness one can get liberation. Through passion and ignorance one will suffer in illusion and fear and lamentation. Right? These lower modes like passion and ignorance will only cause suffering to the people. But goodness can give liberation. Now here the point is, once passionate and ignorant activities cause suffering, illusion, etc., one should be firmly situated in mode of goodness. Considering that lower modes cause only suffering, one should try to elevate oneself to mode of goodness. This is the process that Krishna also recommended in Uddhava Gita. He spoke about the qualities of all three modes and how to transcend the modes. First, transcend ignorance and passion. Come to goodness. Then slowly you will be able to transcend the... Gradually one can transcend goodness also. So one has to come to the mode of goodness to transcend all modes. Like that. So the essence of goodness is to renounce self-interest in all one's activities and thus dedicate one's entire being to Supreme Being. Dedicate one's entire being to the Supreme Being, Krishna. Like that. Then, 46th verse. Chakravartipada here, she says, the cause of this universe made of men, animals and devatas are three modes, which are made of Maya. So how will I attain you beyond Maya? By worshipping the effects of Maya, the devatas who are temporary. Now, in the previous verse, Lord might say that if one has material desires, let them worship demigods. Why should they come to me? Right? Then he answered that by attaining you, one will attain everything. And one more argument I will give you in this verse is, for creation, maintenance and destruction, you will accept these three modes. Right? Goodness, passion and ignorance. And who are the demigods? They are the demigods manifested from the mode of goodness. They are the people manifested from the mode of goodness. Means they are product of Maya. They are product of modes of material nature. And if I want to cross this Maya, how can I take shelter of a person who is a product of Maya? I have to take shelter of a person who is beyond Maya. That's why I want to worship you only, not any other demigods. That is further emphasized in 46th verse. Tasmataveha Bhagavan Athatavakanam Shuklam Tanum Svadayitam Kushalabhajanti Yat Satvata Purusharupa Mushanti Sattvam Lokoyato Bhayamutatma Sukham Chananyat.
O Lord, because fearlessness, spiritual happiness and the kingdom of God are all achieved through the mode of pure goodness, your devotees consider these modes, but never passion and ignorance, to be the direct manifestation of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Intelligent person thus worships your beloved transcendental form in composer of pure goodness, along with the spiritual forms of your pure devotees.
Mm. So intelligent people will not worship demigods because they are product of mode of goodness, which is a material mode. This is definitely better than passion and ignorance, but material mode of goodness is not the ultimate shelter. Shuddha sattva, okay, that mode of goodness which has absolutely no material tinges, that is the ultimate shelter. And who is there in that material, that Shuddha Sattva? Supreme Lord. And his pure devotees. That is why it is better to take shelter of Shuddha Sattva platform on which the Lord and devotees are there, not the demigods. That's why ultimate shelter will come from only Lord and his devotees, pure devotees. That is emphasized here. Next, 47 is also a very interesting verse.
So it's like final prayer given to Naranarayan Rishis by highlighting 8 characteristics of Naranarayan Rishis. 8 characteristics of the Lord.
Tasmai namo bhagavate purushaya bhumne. Vishvaya Vishva Gurave Paradaivataya Narayanaya Rishaye cha Narottamaya Hamsaya Samyatagire Nigameshwaraya Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Bhumne Vishvaya Vishva Gurave Paradaivataya Narayanaya Rishaye cha Narottamaya Hamsaya Samyatagire Nigameshwaraya.
I offer my humble obeisance to Him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the all-providing and all-inclusive form of the universe, as well as its spiritual master. I bow down to the Lord Narayana, the supremely worshipable deity, appearing as a sage, and also to the saintly Nara, the best of human beings, who is fixed in perfect goodness, fully in control of his speech, and the propagator of the Vedic literatures.
So here, Tasmai, so unto him. Okay, Tasmai Namo Bhagavate, unto that Godhead who is number one, Purushaya. Purushaya means the Supreme Person. Purushaya can also mean he is appearing in a human form. So the next word is Bhumne. Although he is appearing in a Purusha form, human form, he is all pervading. Bhumne means he is all pervading. So Purushaya, Bhumne, two words are used to describe the Lord. Next, Vishvaya. Vishvaya means universe. He is the all-inclusive manifestation of the universe. Then Vishvaya means why he is addressed like that? He takes the form of animals, men, demigods, and other aquatics, etc. These are all the different forms available in the universe. So when the Lord is called Vishvaya, so he is the all-encompassing personality of all these forms. Right? Vishvaya. All the forms available in this Vishva, this universe, are available in Lord only. Right? Are coming from the Lord only. That's why he can be called Vishvaya. Then Vishva Gurave means he is the spiritual master of the entire universe. Right? He is the person who can teach bhakti, jnana and vairagya. That's why he is called Vishva Gurave. Then Paradaivataya, he is the most worthy of worship. Most worshipable deity is Lord Paradaivataya. And that deity, that Paradaivata, is appearing as Narayanaya Rishaye Narottamaya. So he is appearing in two forms, that is Nara and Narayana. Then sixth quality is Hamsaya. Hamsaya means he has given up all possessiveness, like a Paramahamsa. So he has no conceptions of I and mine. So he has situated himself in perfect purity, giving up all possessiveness. That is Hamsaya. Samyata Gire means the power of speech. Samyata Gire means he has controlled his power of speech. He doesn't speak prajalpa. Right? He doesn't unnecessarily speak. He'll be silent whenever there is no need to speak. That is Samyata Gire. Nigameshwaraya means he is the master of all Vedic scriptures, or he is the preacher of all Vedic scriptures. Nigameshwaraya. So these are the 8 qualities. Naranarayan Rishi. Purushaya Bhumne, Vishvaya Vishva Gurave, Paradaivataya Hamsaya, Samyatagire Nigameshwaraya. Naranarayan Rishi. Basically for the Supreme Lord who appeared in the form of Naranarayan Rishi. These are the 8 qualities of Supreme Lord who appeared in as Naranarayan Rishi. Yeah, Nara is also Lord. He is also form of the Lord. Yeah, Narottama, he appeared in a human form, and in that human form, he is the best of all humans. But he is Lord only. Next, 48th verse.
yam vaina veda vitha yam naiva veda vitatha kshapathair brahmadhihi santam svakeshu asushu hridyapi drukpatheshu tanmayaya vritamati sau etva sakshat Adhyastavakhilaguro rupasadhya vedam.
A materialist, his intelligence perverted by the action of his deceptive senses, cannot recognize you at all, although you are always present within his own senses and heart, and also among the objects of his perception. Yet even though one's understanding has been covered by your illusory potency, if one obtains Vedic knowledge from you, the supreme spiritual master of all, he can directly understand you.
Mm. So one's intelligence, if it is bewildered, then he cannot realize the Supreme Lord. Right? But if one obtains knowledge from the Supreme Lord, Supreme Spiritual Master, Vishwa Gurave, he can understand it. Like that. By spiritual intelligence, one can perceive the Lord. One can understand the Lord. By bewildered intelligence, one cannot understand the Lord. That is the theme of this verse. 49.
Yaddarshanam nigama atmarah prakasham muhyanti yatra kavayo japaraya tantaha Tam sarvavada vishaya pratirupashilam Vande maha purusham atmani gudha bodham.
My dear Lord, the Vedic literatures alone reveal confidential knowledge of your Supreme Personality, and thus even such great scholars as Lord Brahma himself are bewildered in their attempt to understand you through empirical methods. Each philosopher understands you according to his particular speculative conclusions. I worship that Supreme Person, knowledge of whom is hidden by the bodily designations covering the conditioned soul's spiritual identity.
So, tam sarvavada vishaya pratirupa shilam. So, he manifests himself according to the particular flavor of speculation of a philosopher. Right? Because each philosopher is influenced by a particular, peculiar, unique combination of modes. Right? And he explains the Lord or understands the Lord in certain ways. And Lord reciprocates with that combination. Right? With his rasa. But a devotee in a devotional flavor, if he approaches the Lord, he is yajyad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattatvapuh pranayase sadanugrahaya. Right? If some speculator wants to explain the Lord as formless or something like that. For him, he is like that only. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. Right? So, Lord is yethamam prapadyante. That is mentioned here. And Lord is not obliged to be understood by each and every speculator. Namaya vidu swarganaha prabhavanna maharshayaha aham adirhi devana maharshinam cha sarvasya. I am the origin of all demigods and rishis. Right? Namaya vidu swarganaha. They cannot understand me. So, Lord himself says. So he is Atma Nigudha Bodham. So Atma Nigudha. Nigudha means hidden. Bodham. It's very difficult for a normal Atma to understand the Lord. One cannot understand the Lord completely. So that is explained in this verse. So to be a pure devotee, one must give up all fruitive activity and mental speculation. In this way, his loving service to the Lord will yield perfect knowledge to the Supreme. Only this perfection can satisfy the eternal soul. So, anya bhilashita sunya, jnana karmadi anavartam. Then only he can see. So, now, so far what we have discussed, Markandeya Muni's initial austerities and his dedication to spiritual master and his absorption in Supreme Lord and how Indra had sent Cupid and all the apsaras to distract him, but still he was not perturbed. Then Naranarayan Rishi, pleased by the devotional service of Markandeya Rishi, manifested in front of him, and Markandeya Rishi offered prayers. That was the subject matter of 8th chapter. Now in the 9th chapter, Markandeya Rishi asks the Lord, please. Actually, Lord, Naranayan Rishi asked Markandeya Rishi, what do you want to see? What benediction you want? So in response to that, Markandeya Rishi says, I want to see your illusory energy. So even such great personalities also have some idle curiosity. Oh, I want to know how this material energy functions, how this Maya functions. So how he experienced that Maya of the Lord is the rest of the chapter, of the ninth chapter. Huh? Who is the name, although it's mentioned several times, name is there? I didn't see. Father's name is there. That is principal of his. Name is not there. We'll find out. Suta Uvacha Samstuto Bhagavan Ittam Markandeyena Dhimatam Narayano Narasakaha Prita Aha Bhrugodvaham.
Swami said, the Supreme Lord Narayan, the friend of Nara, was satisfied by the proper glorification offered by the intelligent sage Markandeya. Thus the Lord addressed that excellent descendant of Bhrugu.
So Lord addressed him. Bhogo Brahmarshi Varyosi Siddha Atma Samadhina Mai Bhaktyana Payinya Tapasvadhyaya Samyamaihi.
Personality of Godhead said, my dear Markandeya, you are indeed the best of all learned Brahmanas. You have perfected your life by practicing fixed meditation upon the Supreme Soul, as well as by focusing upon me, your undeviating devotional service. Your austerities, your study of the Vedas, and your strict adherence to regulative principles.
So here, Supreme Lord is appreciating five qualities of Markandeya Muni. So, Bhobho Brahmarshi Varyosi Siddha. Siddha means you are perfect in what? Atma Samadhina, your absorption in me. Then, Mai Bhaktya Anapayinya, Anapayina Bhakti, undeviated devotional service you have performed. 3. Tapaha, all your austerities. Svadhyaya, your Vedic study. Samyamaihi, your regulative principles. So, in your absorption in me, in your undeviated devotional service to me, in your austerities, in your Vedic study, in your following regulative principles, you never deviated. You have become perfect. Because of these five qualities, I am very pleased with you. So, vayam te pratitushtasma parituṣṭhāsma tvadbhridvratacharyaya tadbruhadvratacharyaya varam pratichabhadram te varadosmi tvadipsitam.
We are perfectly satisfied with your practice of a lifelong celibacy. Please choose whatever benediction you desire, since I can grant your wish. May you enjoy all the good fortune.
So here he says, vayam. Vayam te parituṣṭāsma. Vayam means we. We are pleased with you. In this, by saying we, Naranayan Rishi is including Shiva and Uma also. So in the next chapter, we will see that Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati, they were very pleased with Markandeya Rishi. They also wanted to give a benediction. That's why he says, vayam, we are pleased with you. But varadosmi tvadipsitam, varado asmi. And he says, I will offer you benediction. Right? He says, we are pleased with you, but I will offer you benediction. Means, if at all one has to offer, you know, liberation or highest perfection of life, eternal Krishna consciousness, that can be offered or bestowed by only Supreme Lord. So, when it comes to giving a benediction, I will give you. When it comes to getting pleased with you, we are pleased with you. Like that. Sri Rishi Ruvacha Jitam Te Deva Devesha Prapannarti Harachyuta Varenaita Vatalamno Yad Bhavan Samadrishyata
Thus he said, O Lord of all lords, all glories to you. O Lord Achyuta, you remove all distress for the devotees who surrender unto you. That you have allowed me to see you is all the benediction I want.
So jitamte, all victory unto you, my Lord. Deva Devesha, O Lord of all lords, prapannarti hara achyuta. O infallible Lord, you are prapanna arti hara. You are the remover of the distress of all surrendered devotees. Right? So you have allowed me to see you. That itself is a great benediction. What else do I want?
Vareneva talam no yad bhavan samadrishyata. Samadrishyata.
I have seen you. That's a great benediction for me. Still, I have one desire. I will tell you in the fifth verse. Or sixth verse.
Grihitva jadayo yasya. Srimat padabja darshanam. Manasa yoga pakvena. Sabhavan mekshi gocharaha.
Such demigods as Lord Brahma achieved their exalted positions simply by seeing your beautiful lotus feet after their minds had become mature in yoga practice. And now, my Lord, you have personally appeared before me.
So, grihitva aja adayo yasya. So, many devotees, including aja adayaha, Brahma, etc. So, they have received Srimat. Like they have seen your Srimat Padabja Darshanam, your all beautiful lotus feet they have witnessed. Right? Manasa Yoga Pakvena Bhavan Me Akshi Gocharaha. Such a personality who is very rare for even demigods to see. So you have given me your darshan. That's a very great benediction to me. Demigods like Brahma achieved their position simply by glimpsing at the lotus feet of your lordship. So now I am seeing you, your entire body. Even demigod said in the 6th chapter of 11th canto that it's very difficult to see your lotus feet also. Now in Dwaraka we are seeing your entire form. You are so fortunate. Surendra Vandana, that is the Dwarkavasi's prayer in the first canto. See, you just to get a glimpse of Lord's lotus feet or just small trace, that's a very rare opportunity. Right? Now we can understand the rarity of Lord's darshan by seeing all these verses of Bhagavatam. If you go to Balaji temple, you stand in some 3, 4, 5, 10 hours in the queue, and to witness the Lord for even 10 seconds is a rare privilege. Right? But we can understand how fortunate we are to be able to see the forms of Krishna and Radha whenever we want. Here.
Athapyambuja patraksham punyasloka sikhamane drakshevayam yayaloka sapalo veda sadbhitam.
O lotus-eyed Lord, O crest jewel of renowned personalities, although I am satisfied simply by seeing you, I do wish to see your illusory potency, by whose influence the entire world, together with its ruling demigods, considers reality to be the materially variegated.
I want to see your illusory potency. So all things are united, being potencies of Supreme Lord. But Markandeya Rishi is curious to witness the exact process by which Maya casts all living entities into illusion. So this is the desire of Markandeya Rishi. He was curious. He was very curious to know. And it's not that Markandeya Rishi wants to enjoy the illusory potency of the Lord. He wants to get absorbed in Maya. But he was just curious to know how Lord's illusory energy will capture all the living entities. What is the captivating potency of Lord's Maya? I want to just see from a distance. Okay, it's not that I want to get absorbed into it or I enjoy their sense gratification there. That was not the intention, but he was curious. But sometimes being curious about Lord's Maya could produce an entangling effect, right? So now Markandeya Rishi will experience it. Even Shiva also wanted to see Mohini Murti of the Lord. right, 8th canto, 12th chapter, we see that Mohini Maruti pastime is given, is enacted to allure the demons. But Shiva just drank poison and left. He couldn't witness that form. How did you bewilder all the demigods, bewilder all the demons? So I want to see. And Shiva was quite confident that all the demigods were not bewildered. I am the best of all demigods. How will I be bewildered? I will not be bewildered. Please show. But Lord Madhusudana tells him very humorously that this is meant for people who are very lusty. This is not for you. Okay? It will not bewilder you in any way. So please don't be unnecessarily curious. And he was indicating, I don't want to embarrass you in front of your wife. You came along with Bhavani also. So better, I'm telling you, no need to see. Then, but still, he was very insistent, I want to see. Then he showed like that. Sometimes we want to know everything about everything. That kind of curiosity or, you know, dissatisfaction is not very recommended, as indicated by our Naranarayan Rishi's response here in the 7th verse. Suta uvacha iti iditorchitah kamam ऋषिना भगवान मुने तथेति स स्मयन प्रागाद भद्रत्याश्रममीश्वरः.
Sut Goswami said, O wise Saunaka, thus satisfied by Markandeya's praise and worship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smiling, replied, so we eat, and then departed for his hermitage at Bhadrikashram.
तथेति स स्मयन प्रागाद. So smayan, he smiled. That smile is a rueful smile, as the purport says. So rueful means smile accompanied with some sorrow or regret, or smile that contains little, you know, what to say, in a humorous way, with some pity on that person, right? That is called rueful smile. So he smiled in such a way. His intention was, you must realize later that I don't like this experience of seeing Lord's Maya. Right? So by experiencing that, the suffering of seeing my Maya, he will give it up. So, okay, you experience like that. So, sometimes one may want to see a sannyasi's family photos, or what some two senior devotees are speaking confidentially. Right? So these are some kind of idle curiosity that might creep in a struggling sadhaka. Once Prabhupada told Bhavanand Prabhu, if you look here and there always, right, you will be lost. Right? You will go blind, Prabhupada said like that. If you keep on looking here and there, you will go blind. Like that. So here one his Markandeya Rishi's curiosity is not very much appreciated by the Lord, but Lord nevertheless wanted to purify, wanted to, you know, bestow that benediction, and wants to fulfill that curiosity also. Because sometimes elders may fulfill the curiosity of children, because if they don't fulfill the curiosity, they will keep on unnecessarily bothering the elders, right? And waste their time only, right? For example, in our childhood, so we used to have this one stick, glass stick. Right, inside that there is some water and some chamki and some shining materials. You just do like this, and there is, I don't know what kind of attraction was there in it, but it would attract all children. It's like 3 rupees or 4 rupees, something like that. It's absolutely useless, everybody knows, but children is attracted to it. Right? So if it falls, it will create a big mess there. All dirty water and then so much of glass pieces. Right? Still people will get attracted to that, balloons and some, you know, rotating objects. So just to fulfill the curiosity, parents will give. Right? Similarly, actually, why the conditioned soul is staying in this material world? Only to fulfill his curiosity, to enjoy this material world. So Rudra Gita purports, Prabhupada says, mother gives some toy utensils to the child, so that he will try to cook on yourself and himself, by himself, and then when he becomes hungry, he will come back to me. So he fulfills that curiosity. Otherwise, if that curiosity is not fulfilled, that is there in the back of the mind. That's why Lord just fulfills that curiosity also. Markandeya Rishi. Nothing that I can recollect at this point. Sariyati got into trouble. Narada Muni. Kalia. Correct. Then Mahaprabhu slapped him. He didn't fulfill that curiosity.
Any reason for curiosity why it is?
Curiosity is the reason.
just before praying, he actually, you know, Cupid came and he didn't even saw them. Suddenly after prayer.
No, he definitely, this purport, which purport says, next purport only, 8th to 9th, that purport says that Markandeya Rishi was definitely a great devotee of Krishna. He wanted to see the Lord's illusory potency, not to fulfill his sense gratificatory desires, but he wanted to know how his potency is working. How does this work? How does this potency, illusory potency of Lord, work and captivate the conditioned soul?
It is, in that sense, it's a genuine inclination, not to enjoy. No, so still, how it can affect?
See, here what is emphasized here is, if you are curious about something which is producing a negative effect, there is a possibility that we may be absorbed in that negativity. Right? You know, that's why intelligent people want to just hear and understand, and they don't want to experience it. Right? But he wants to personally see how it is working. Right? So that was the main problem. Because there is always a possibility that one may be sucked in. I will just go into the bar and want to see how people are unnecessarily getting how this this beer works on a personality. I just want to study, I don't want to drink, that definitely. So one may say like that, but there is a possibility that he may just get entrapped there. What? Yeah, purport is there. That's what I'm saying. It might, a curiosity to see the illusory energy of the Lord sometimes develops into some sinful material desire.
Krishna consciousness, we also see the negative aspect. Just like there are some books on Maya. Recently I saw one devotee reading Dhrutagarma Prabhu's book on Maya. Very scientifically analysis many things. So actually, how to understand that? One more book actually different. So it is very analytical. Anil Achyut Nityananda Prabhu also saw. So he was reading that very analytical scientific diagram. Some diagram was there, very analytical. Yeah. So you said probably recently in a Bhagavatam class, you said one point, like we don't need to read about Maya if we are fixed up devotee. What exactly?
In Bhagavatam, you said the great souls have renounced this world. Based on their good instruction and their conviction, we should give up the Maya without having to see it for ourselves. Like that, there is one statement in Bhagavatam. Those who are simple-hearted can surrender, and those who are little more having complicated, so they will, like Puranjana Upakhyan, Narada tells Pachina Parishad, but that fellow was not a very simple fellow. You know, so Narada Muni thought that if I speak simple philosophy of surrender, he may not accept. So he gave him something very complicated, a story. Then he listened. But the end point of the story is because he heard from a pure devotee, he was protected. And then he came to the right conclusion also. But as Prabhuji said, sometimes idle curiosity can mislead somebody to go in the wrong direction. Actually, there are devotees who feel that I will do doctorate and I will defeat the atheists. But they go to doctorate and they never come back.
So we need not unnecessarily put ourselves in an unfavorable situation for bhakti. Right? Getting exposed to Maya or witnessing Maya is not a very favorable situation. So there is a possibility that Sita was very curious to know what is that golden deer. Please get. So Sita was curious and then she was kidnapped. And Narada Muni, one story is there. So where is my glass of water? Krishna asked. He went everywhere. ओके नेक्स्ट अथाप्यम्बुजपत्राक्ष पुण्यश्लोक शिखामणे सॉरी एइथ वर्स तमेव चिंतयन् अर्थम् ऋषिस्वाश्रम एव सः विसन्नग्न्यर्कसोमाम्बु भूवायुवियदात्मसु ध्यायन् सर्वत्र च हरिम् भावद्रव्यैरपूजयत् क्वचित् पूजां विसस्मार प्रेमप्रसरसंप्लुतः
Thinking always of his desire to see the Lord's illusory energy, the sage remained in his ashram, meditating constantly upon the Lord within fire, the sun, the moon, water, the earth, air, lightning, and his own heart, and worshipping him with paraphernalia conceived in his mind. But sometimes, overwhelmed by waves of love for the Lord, Markandeya would forget to perform his regular worship.
Something like Bharat Maharaj. You are also absorbed in ecstasy, sometimes you would forget the regular worship. So later, such a personality also, he was distracted from his worship by becoming absorbed into deer. Right? So, Maya is always looking for an opportunity when to trap a soul. Right? So one need not unnecessarily go there. So one should always try to stay away from Maya. That is the point here. Overwhelmed by waves of love?
If overcome by waves of love, he would forget to perform his regular worship. Is it due to his spontaneous love? For
spontaneous. Prema prasara samputa. He got into spontaneity more than regulated thing. So great souls pull themselves from spontaneity into regulation. Right? But Vaidhi sadhana bhaktas get into spontaneity, leaving the regulated prescriptions. Tenth verse, read the translation.
O Brahmana Shaunaka, best of the Bhrugus, one day while Markandeya was performing his evening worship on the bank of the Pushabhadra, a great wind suddenly arose.
That wind created a terrible sound and brought in its wake fearsome clouds that were accompanied by lightning and roaring thunder, and that poured down on all sides torrents of rain as heavy as wagon wheels. Then the four great oceans appeared on all sides, swallowing up the surface of the earth with their wind-tossed waves. In these oceans were terrible sea monsters, fearful whirlpools, and ominous rumblings. The sage saw all the inhabitants of the universe, including himself, tormented within and without by the harsh winds, the bolts of lightning, and the great waves rising beyond the sky. As the whole earth flooded, he grew perplexed and fearful. So now Markandeya Rishi began to experience the Maya. So Krishna did not arrange for Markandeya Rishi to experience Maya in different forms. He is showing dissolution here. So Maya can be experienced, or the Maya darshan can be given in any way, but he chose to give Maya darshan by dissolution. Seven kalpas. So the dissolution that happens at the end of the day of Brahma happened in Markandeya Rishi's case seven times. Seven times he experienced universal dissolution. Right? Going inside Lord's body and coming out of Lord's body. Seven times that happened in front of him. So then he felt, why did I ask this benediction? End of Brahma's life. Seven times. Vatapatra Sai's body. We'll come. I just revealed the suspense, but it will come. Entire chapter is that only. Even as Markandeya looked on, the rain pouring down from the clouds filled the ocean more and more until the great sea, its waters violently whipped into terrifying waves by hurricanes, covered up all the earth's islands, mountains and continents. The water inundated the earth, outer space, heaven and the celestial region. Indeed, the entire expanse of the universe was flooded in all directions, and out of all its inhabitants, only Markandeya remained. his matted hair scattered. The great sage wandered about alone in the water, as if dumb and blind. Tormented by hunger and thirst, attacked by monstrous makaras and timingala fish, and battered by the wind and waves, he moved aimlessly through the infinite darkness into which he had fallen. As he grew increasingly exhausted, he lost all sense of direction and could not tell the sky from the earth. He could not distinguish what is sky, what is earth. He is surrounded by inundation waters. At times he was engulfed by the great whirlpools. Sometimes he was beaten by the mighty waves. And at other times the aquatic monsters threatened to devour him as they attacked one another. Sometimes he felt lamentation, bewilderment, misery, happiness or fear. And at other times he experienced such terrible illness and pain that he felt himself dying. Countless millions of years passed as Markandeya wandered about in the deluge, his mind bewildered by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once, while wandering in the water, the Brahmana Markandeya discovered a small island upon which stood a young banyan tree bearing blossoms and fruits. It's very unusual, but he saw like that. Upon a branch of the northeast portion of the tree, Ishanya, he saw an infant boy lying within a leaf. The child's effulgence was swallowing up the darkness. Mahamarakatashyamam Srimadvadana Pankajam Kambhugrivam Mahoraskam Sunasam Sundara Bhruvam Svasaijad Alakabhatam Kambhusri Karnadamidam Dadimam Vidrumadhara Bhasheshat Shonayata Sudhasmitam Padmagarbharunapangam Hridyahasavalokanam Svasaijadvalisam Vigna Nimnanabhidalodaram Charvangulibhyam Panibhyam Unniya Charanambujam Mukhe Nidhaya Viprindro Dhayantam Vikshavismitaha.
The infant's dark blue complexion was the color of a flawless emerald. His lotus face shone with a wealth of beauty, and his throat bore marks like the linen on a counsel, lines on a counsel, and he had a broad chest, a finely shaped nose, beautiful eyebrows, and lovely ears that resembled pomegranates, flowers, and that had inner folds like a counsel spirals. The corners of his eyes were reddish like the whole of a lotus, and the effulgence of his coral-like lips slightly reddened the nectarian enchanting smile on his face. As he breathed, his splendid hair trembled and his deep navel became distorted by the moving folds of skin on his abdomen, which resembled a banyan leaf. The exalted Brahman watched with amazement as the infant took hold of one of his lotus feet with his graceful fingers, placed a toe within his mouth and began to suck.
This is the beautiful description of Vatapatra Sai. The Mahamarakatasyamam, his body is of the complexion of great emerald. Marakata, Srimadvadana Pankajam, Kambhugrivam Mahoraskam. So we can match the Sanskrit with the English to relish that better. But towards the end, it is mentioned that Mukhe Nidhaya Viprendro Dhayantam Viksha Vismitaha. So Markandeya was very astonished to see what he is doing. Charvangulibhyam Panibhyam Unniya Charanambujam. So he caught his lotus feet, right? Charu Angulibhyam, that is having very beautiful fingers. He caught it with his two hands, Unniya, picking up, mukhe nidhaya. He placed that finger, toes finger in his mouth, right? So he saw, he was very surprised. How come this young child is there in these devastation waters? Who is this child? Why is he licking his own toe? So the reason is, Krishna himself is surprised. What sweetness is there in my lotus feet? The unlimited prayers in Bhagavatam to my lotus feet. People are worshipping my lotus feet. People are aspiring to serve my lotus feet. What is the sweetness of my lotus feet? Let me taste it. So Krishna started tasting it. Right? So as a grown-up boy in Yavana or Kaishora or as Narayana, if he takes his toe and then keeps in his mouth, it doesn't look good. So he took the form of an infant baby. Then he picked up his toe and then started licking it. Even Devahuti also says in her prayers, in third canto ending, this scene is explained. So as Markandeya beheld the child, all his weariness vanished. Indeed, so great was his pleasure that the lotus of his heart, along with his lotus eyes, fully blossomed, and the hairs of his body stood on end. Confused as to the identity of the wonderful infant, the sage approached him. Tavatsishorvai swasite anabhargava Sontasyariram mashakoyathavishat Tatrapyadonyastamachashtakritsnaso Yathapuramuhyadativa vismitaha.
Thus then the child inhaled, drawing Markandeya within his body like a mosquito. There the sage found the entire universe arrayed as it had been before its dissolution. Seeing this, Markandeya was most astonished and perplexed.
So Markandeya was swallowed, but was inhaled by Vatapatra Sai. He went inside his body. Right? What he saw in his body? Entire creation. Right? The sages are the entire universe, the sky, heavens, and earth, the stars, mountains, oceans, great islands and continents, the expanses in every direction, the saintly and demoniac living beings, the forests, countries, rivers, cities and mines and agricultural villages and cow pastures and occupational and spiritual activities of various social divisions. See, all this he has seen. He also saw the basic elements of creation along with their byproducts as well as time itself, which regulates the progression of countless ages within the days of Brahma. In addition, he saw everything else created for use in material life. All this he saw manifested before him as if it were real. Not just movie. He was not sitting in a comfortable position and then seeing on a screen. He was in the midst of all of that. Right? What scene comes next, he doesn't know. And he has to be the part of the scene. So that's how he witnessed everything. Just like Yashodamayi saw everything within the mouth of Krishna. So here Markandeya Rishi did not see it within the mouth of Krishna. He entered the mouth of Krishna and then saw everything. He himself was inside. Like that. He saw before him Himalaya mountains, the Pushpavadra river, where his hermitage was. And his own hermitage, where he had the audience of the sages Naranarayana. Then as Markandeya beheld the entire universe, the infant exhaled, expelling the sage from his body and casting him back into the ocean of dissolution. So this inhaling and exhaling business happened 7 times. Each time he was in devastation waters for millions of years, and at one point he will see a small island, a banyan tree and a leaf under an infant baby, and then he is curious to see what is it, and then he was inhaled. And inside that he sees all these details. And after 7 he is exhaled. Like that 7 times it happened back and forth. In that vast sea, he again saw the banyan tree growing on the tiny island and the infant boy lying within the leaf. The child glanced at him from the corner of his eyes with a smile imbued with the nectar of love. And Markandeya took him into his heart through his eyes. Markandeya took him into his heart through his eyes. So, you see, greatly agitated, the sage then ran to embrace the transcendental personality of Godhead. At that moment, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is the original master of all mysticism, and who is hidden within everyone's heart, became invisible to the sage. just as the achievements of an incompetent person can suddenly vanish. This is a comparison given. Now we can understand the inconceivable potency of the Lord. When we glorifying Him, He is inside of everything, outside of everything. He doesn't move, but He moves everywhere. He is all pervading, but He is localized also. All this kind of contradictory the statements that when we hear, we should understand them in the light of achintya, inconceivable potency of the Lord. Right? All contradictions are adjusted when we understand the inconceivable potency of the Lord. When we understand means when we take into consideration the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Okay, when we know that it is inconceivable for us to understand, we can understand all this. He saw entire creation within the womb of Krishna, and when He came out of the womb, He saw entire dissolution of what is He saw inside. Universe is inside Lord's womb, Lord's belly, and outside the universal devastation is happening. Whether the universe is inside His womb or outside His womb, He is within the universe and universe is within Him. Right? Markandeya Rishi is outside the Lord, seeing the Lord, and he went inside the Lord also. And inside the Lord, same universe is there. The creation, the entire details are there. So, Brahmaji also says, I am like a child, please forgive me. I am like your child in mother's womb. If a child kicks mother from inside, mother will forgive. Right? So, that he was saying, standing outside Krishna. He was seeing Krishna, and he says, I am inside your womb. He is outside, standing outside. He was bigger also. Krishna was very small at that time. Small boy, 6-year-old boy. So this is all inconceivable potency of the Lord. So he is, entire universe is within Him and He is within the universe also. And Markandeya Rishi had this realization 7 times. And each time it's millions of years. And acharyas say that one should not consider this story as an allegory or imagination or symbolic, right? Or just an illusion created only for Markandeya Rishi. It happened really. It is a real story. Within one instant, Krishna accommodated 7 kalpas period within one instant for Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi was actually experiencing this for 7 kalpas period. But entire universe, everyone else is experiencing it for one instance only. Within one instance, he inserted 7 kalpas of time. Just like within one bag, we keep some 10 kilos of whatever, fruits or anything. So somebody can accommodate so much. Why can't Krishna accommodate within one moment of time, 7 kalpas of time? Within one night, he accommodated like 1 day of Brahma for Rasa Leela.
The jivas actually are unconscious completely in the navel of Vishnu. So they, once they die and their bodies are finished, then they don't actually much have experience of what's happening around. Correct, no? They don't get to sit back and witness the way which the description given about pralaya. You know, the ananta shesh emanating fire and the whole universe. So all these things are not observed by the living entity. Because the living entity dies. Mm. And then he occupies the navel of Vishnu. And then he doesn't see. Whereas in this particular chapter, he got to see everything.
Correct.
Like he was witnessing it.
An ordinary living entity, because he is so tiny compared to the universe,
he cannot have the power to see.
If ocean inundates, he will see only this much portion. It's like big screen is there and he can see only this much. But Markandeya Rishi could witness all that. Just like Arjuna saw entire universal form. Yeah, he got that special vision. Next, 34th, last verse. After the Lord disappeared, O Brahmana, the banyan tree, the great water and the dissolution of the universe all vanished as well. And in an instant, Markandeya found himself back in his own hermitage, as before. So, we'll take just 5 minutes break and begin the next chapter. Next chapter is very nectarian. Lot of discussion about devotees. Huh?